Anyway, let's bring us up to date then, Chris, with what's going on now. There's a lot of words that are bandied about in the media and a lot of acronyms that our listeners probably would like a little bit of explanation about. Can you start with telling us a little bit about the PHSO and what's happening there?
Yes, PHSO, that stands for the Parliamentary Health Service Ombudsman. He has been asked to look into maladministration against 50s women, but he's not looking into discrimination. He's only looking into that one aspect, maladministration. He has so far taken a very long time over this because he paused his work during the judicial review, but he's so far produced two reports. And to be quite honest, it doesn't look as though 50s women will get very much, if anything at all, out of this route, bearing in mind that he has not been asked to look at discrimination. He's focusing only on maladministration, and he's already ruled that maladministration only began in 2006. Now, a lot of 50s women will disagree with this, but the point is that any compensation that will be awarded will go from that date and not before. Of course, he only makes recommendations. So he recommends to the government, the Department for Work and Pensions, what he feels would be fair compensation, but they're not duty bound to follow any recommendations that he makes. So it leaves 50s women wondering where they stand. A lot of us actually feel that we've had no say in the PHSO investigation because he chose six test cases quite early on before a lot of 50s women even knew about the state pension age changes. And the independent complaints examiner actually closed the books on any further complaints at some stage. I think it was when there were about 600 complaints on the books. They closed the books because they were being absolutely inundated. And so they closed the books, and that meant that a lot of 50s women never actually had the opportunity to register any kind of complaint at all with the
So
Ombudsman.
they close the books, Chris, at a few hundred when 3.8 million women are affected. And 3.8
Absolutely.
million women don't want compensation. We want back what we're owed. We want full
Yes.
restitution. I
Yeah.
mean, really, you couldn't make this up, could you? So I understand on a more positive note that Back to 60 and the CEDAW groups have been looking at a different route, a parliamentary route, using something called an EDM, early day motion. How do these work? Can you tell us about that?
Well, yes, we've actually, with the help of various different MPs, we've actually raised four different, or the MPs have raised four different early day motions. What they are is a means of drawing a particular issue to the attention of the government. A particular MP will raise a short statement, an issue that they want to be debated in Parliament. Now, in practice, they don't very often get as far as debate. But what it does do, it raises the issue and allows people to express how they feel about it. Now, two of our early day motions, two of the earlier ones, which were almost identical, actually recognised, the MPs who signed it recognised discrimination and were calling for what's called a temporary special measure in order to address the issue. Now, this is a route that is recommended by CEDAW. It's one of the articles of CEDAW, which says it's a perfectly legal route. When an injustice has been identified, it can be remedied by a temporary special measure, which is brought about through the early day motion. Now, unfortunately, those two early EDMs were they both ran out of time. The first one, because Parliament was prorogued, and in fact, many would say illegally. The second one ran out of time because a general election came about. But we now have two current early day motions, one raised by Ian Byrne MP, which was similar to the first two, identifying discrimination and asking for a temporary special measure. But the most important one, in my view, is one that's recently been raised by Sir George Howarth, where he's taking a slightly different route, yet again, recognising discrimination, recognising the importance of Dr. Scutt's report out of CEDAW in Law, and asking the Secretary of State for Work and Pensions to attend alternate dispute resolution settlement talks that take account of both discrimination and maladministration.
Right, so this is like it's a discussion, a mediation type route that we would go through in order to get our settlement at the end. And as I understand it, I think we've got MPs from all political parties signed up to Sir George's group, and that the group is growing daily. It's getting a lot of interest within Parliament.
Yes, that's true. The early day motions have attracted hundreds of MPs' signatures. The very first one had real cross-party support, including some Conservative MPs who signed that one. 225, I think, signed the very first one. Now, if they recognise discrimination at that point, why is it it's falling on deaf ears now? Yeah, it's a big question.
But we have the backup of these wonderful reports from the Right Honourable Dr. Jocelyn Scutt AO, which very clearly show direct discrimination and actually suggest ways forward. And as I understand it, both her reports have been taken to number 10 Downing Street.
Yes, they've been taken to number 10 and they've been very widely distributed to every single MP. They must have received copies of the report in emails and on Twitter and by various different means many, many times over. So I don't think there's a single MP that could argue that they've never seen this major report. We've been highlighting it at every single opportunity. And the point is that the report clearly, indisputably, recognises direct discrimination on grounds of both age and sex, and indirect discrimination on both those grounds, although, to be honest, the direct discrimination is the ace in the hole, so to speak. The only legal and moral outcome from this, according to Dr. Scutt, is full restitution. She says that the law is clearly on the side of 50s women.
And meanwhile, the longer they delay, the more women die. And I think we are well over 250,000 women have died so far without receiving any of their state pension.
Yes, I've seen some very recent figures which come from the Office for National Statistics. And one of our lady's associates on Twitter has found the information for Scotland and Northern Ireland, as well as for England and Wales. And the figure stood at 220,000 at the end of 2021. So if you project forwards from that, bearing in mind that the number of deaths accelerates as we all age, it's now well over 300,000 50s women who've passed away, many of them, without receiving a penny of their pension.
So we need to get everybody contacting their MPs to get behind Sir George Howarth and to get resolution as soon as possible. Thank you, Chris. And thank you, everyone. We're delighted where we've been and how much we've achieved on behalf of 50s Women. And we'd like to thank all those who've helped us for their generosity and expertise. We are looking for a settlement. Politicians of all parties agree that an injustice has been done, and they agree that there's a debt of honour to be paid. National and international law is on our side. The George Howarth ADR group expands day by day, and as Chris has said, a temporary special measure is just one way of getting a quick remedy. Please follow us on our Facebook group, Back to 60 group, and look up all our achievements via our YouTube videos. Please look out for our petitions. We've got a lot out there. Let's put pressure on these MPs and let's get women compensated fully now. Thank you.